Welcome to Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable. I'm Cody Lindquist.
And I'm Charlie Todd. How is everybody doing tonight?
It's been a long time since I've been kind of tipsy before 6 p.m.
That's right. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, UCB Theater.
To this special happy hour edition of Two Beers In. We're a married couple. We love beer. We love talking to people that are smarter than us about politics.
And most people are.
We know nothing. So that's why we created Two Beers In. It's a tipsy political roundtable. We've been drinking backstage with our panelists. We're going to drink a little more on stage, and we're going to catch up on the news. We've got some comedians tonight. We've got some journalists tonight. We've got a really great panel.
Great panel.
Our next show is March 25th at 7:30. That's a Wednesday.
And in case you're wondering, that's 7 days before my birthday. So
wow. A lot of people
were
wondering.
Put that in your calendar. Thank you.
And this is a podcast, so you can listen to future episodes if you can't be here in person on the podcast. Let's bring out our panel. What do you
think, Cody?
Sounds
great.
Please welcome our first guest. He is... Please welcome our first guest. His given name is Dan Perkins, but you know him as Tom Tomorrow, creator of This Modern World. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. Dan.
All right. She is the voice of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Our Cartoon President. Please welcome Elise Morales.
And she is the founder of The List and a contributor at The Washington Post and other publications. Please welcome Rachel Sklar.
Rachel is... Quattro fisting drinks. This is the most hydrated woman I've seen.
She's brought out polar seltzer water.
Cold flu and coronavirus season, so hydrate, hydrate, hydrate.
So seltzer water, Diet Coke, and two different types of beers. This is going to be a wild ride tonight.
If she has to run to go pee, that's why. We all know it. Wow, guys, what a week.
Yeah.
A lot of shit has gone down this week. It has been an exhausting mindfuck of a week.
Sorry, I was traveling. Did something happen?
Where were you traveling? We might need to quarantine you. You might need to get back on a cruise ship and sit in the Pacific Ocean for about 20 days. That was a coronavirus joke.
I don't get, like, who would go on a cruise ship ever again? Anywhere?
Last night we had friends that were like, we should go on a cruise. And I was like, never. I will never go on a cruise. Especially, everyone comes back with some sort of norovirus. It's like everybody was sick. Everyone was barfing. They're recycling air through the thing. So if the person next to you has, like, scabies, you get it.
I know, but
you get that through air, right?
Big buffet tables.
That grosses me out, too. I don't like a big buffet.
All you can eat, midnight buffet.
Right? At this point, they're having, like, old cruise food. On the cruises that are docked.
Oh, like, gosh. They're probably shipping in ready-made meals from the Army.
The one that's docked outside Japan is named the Diamond Princess. Imagine being trapped on the Diamond Princess.
It sounds like Princess Diana, and we all know what happened to her.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Well, she died. I didn't kill her. Too soon? It was in the 90s.
So we want to start off talking about the Democratic primary. Since our last show, there was a caucus in Iowa, and we still don't know who won.
We think it's a caucus.
Oh, Pete knows who won.
Pete thinks he won. Bernie thinks he won. One of them won, or both of them won. I don't know. But the one that everyone seems to talk about, and every single news broadcast in the past week has talked about Biden first. And I wanted to bring this up because it's driving me crazy. So I feel like the primary is still constantly being told within the focus of Biden. He's the main character. I know nationally he's polling number one, I guess. But he came in fourth in Iowa.
Well, you're a dog-faced, pony-lying soldier? Or did I get that wrong?
Wait, is that something he said?
Yes.
He said something
to a woman. John Wayne quote, but he called someone a... Does anyone have the quote?
Lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I love his ability to always say whatever is the most relevant and hyper-topical. He's like, really, really thinking of the stuff that's like, yeah. Oh, the kids will get this reference.
Yeah, he put the word malarkey on the side of a bus and drove around Iowa. I mean, come on. Look, I said on our podcast last month that if Biden wins a nomination, I will buy a Biden t-shirt and I will wear it regularly for the rest of the year. As I think we need to do, all of us need to do, no matter who the candidate is. But yes, applause break. Thank you.
All right.
Can we just vote, though? I don't know about the t-shirt.
No, I mean, you got to. You got it.
That's a little humiliating.
You have to wear the t-shirt so other white men know.
I don't want to wear the t-shirt.
So other white men know you like that white man.
I have acquired a Biden t-shirt because I have a friend of a friend who works on the campaign. It's a whole thing. Anyway,
wait,
I have
what? Someone works on their campaign?
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I can't ask him any questions about it because I'm just like.
He was just like, you know what? Biden or bust.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So my friend's fiance works for Biden. Through this, I have acquired a Biden t-shirt, which I have in the reserve in the event that he is the nominee and I have to wear it.
You gotta wear it every day in October.
Have you ever thought to just walk around Williamsburg and wear it ironically?
I thought that, but I would, like, a picture would be posted of me that would go viral immediately. people would be like a picture would get posted and then they'd be like, is that Elise Rose?
Is that someone under 50 wearing a Biden shirt?
Yeah. But what I was gonna say is that the material of the t-shirt, not good.
Oh, come on. Is it 100% cotton?
It's heavyweight? It's like a heavyweight? Like a 50-50 cotton?
It's one of those, it's one of those 90s t-shirts with a high collar.
Like it feels like screen printed wrong. I'm like, is this really? It feels
like
emblematic of the campaign he ran in Iowa. Yeah.
It's like the free shirt you got when you were like, you know, in a play.
Yes, exactly. It's like the free shirt you got.
Everybody here was
in
a play once, right? No. Yeah. All right. Just me.
So I was in plays. I can go there.
Great.
Musical theater. Let's do it.
Thank you. We'll have a separate podcast about that.
So my question for the panel is, why is the media obsessed with Biden? Because I remember this in 2015, if you'll recall, leading up to the primaries of 2016, there was a news story every night. Is Joe Biden going to jump in the race? And I think it hurt Hillary. It hurt Bernie too, I guess. But it just like.
But Hillary won. How did it hurt her?
The media has been.
She didn't.
The media has been, like, just pining after Joe Biden for so long, and I don't know why. Can somebody explain it to me?
His many successful presidential runs?
Right. He's lost many times in past primaries.
I mean, it could also have to do with the makeup of the media. Like, when we say the media, what you're really talking about is the mainstream media. I mean, we're talking about newsrooms that are primarily run by white men, older white men, he's a familiar face. You know, they just kind of can't figure out what it is about Elizabeth Warren that bugs them. Mm-hmm. And Bernie's so radical, and Pete seems like a nice fella. And I mean, I don't know, that to me seems like a decent idea about the source of
I feel like the media is, sure, they have some biases, of course, but I also just feel like they're stuck in this, like, the way the media existed 10 years ago. That's just how it was. It was like, we have these four people, and they're in charge, and we just rotate between. It's like they don't understand Andrew Yang and how to report on him.
Who does?
I don't.
It's math.
It's math.
It is.
It's complicated math.
Right. They don't know how to. It's the same way they cover Trump. They don't know how to cover something that's just like, they're playing by the old rules when things have completely changed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, I feel like they just know Joe Biden, and they, like, he's been someone that they've understood for a long time, and also he came out early as the front runner, and maybe some of them predicted him as winning, and so they kind of don't want to have to move back on these predictions that they made early on or be wrong.
I might be wrong. He might start winning states. I mean, he maybe in South Carolina he's going to start winning.
Well,
or
there was
whatever.
A new poll recently that came out that he was like, I think at 40% or something with African American voters, and then a new poll, just one poll. So who knows? They came out today and said he was at 27%, which was
good.
Well, but a huge drop from 40%.
No, that's good for America.
I'll remind you of that when you're wearing your Biden shirt around.
I know Klobuchar is beating him in the polls in New Hampshire as of today.
Great. So he could come in fifth, you mean?
So she's in third.
Oh, okay.
And then she's ahead of him and Warren
wow.
in New Hampshire, apparently, right now,
sorry,
as of this
I
morning.
I didn't catch that name. I I haven't been reading much about that
candidate. Amy Klobuchar, I believe.
It's a woman. You really don't have to pay attention. We're just here to have children.
Did you see,
cook.
Though, how the results out of Iowa, they
it was
were
a
like,
joke,
first place,
I'm
second
kidding.
Place, and fourth place. And, oh, wait, was there a third
yeah,
place candidate?
Who came
apparently,
in third?
Apparently we...
Yeah, Warren was not talked about at all, and she came in third. And this is why I'm venting, that the fourth place candidate was still the one that got sucked up all the
also,
attention.
Well, this brings us to the whole... bitching and moaning about the Iowa caucus. It's very frustrating that old white people in Ohio or in Iowa.
Iowa. I'm from Iowa.
I'm from Iowa too. Where are you from?
Iowa City.
Oh, Davenport. We're right near each other. Yeah.
Right. Little bonding.
You didn't know that I was from Iowa when I said it. I grew up in Ohio.
Wait, you're from Ohio?
I'm from both.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
God. That's a hell of a mistake.
Power.
It is. Yeah. We talk about this a lot on the podcast.
How do you even
I am
keep
like
it straight?
I am a white suburban voter from Iowa and Ohio who has moved
oh
to
God,
New York and ruined all of my voting power. So unfortunately. But it is frustrating that Iowa has gotten to decide who we think is important based on, you know, whatever they think, although we don't know what they think yet because it was a disaster.
Every caucus has probably been this much of a disaster. This is just the first one where we really dug into the data. Like, going back 100 years, they were probably all this fucked up.
They weren't 100 years. The caucus was created in the 70s.
No way, really?
Yes, the Iowa caucus. This pissed me off so much because I was like, oh, well, it's the Iowa caucus. We're supposed to have all this... you know, tradition, whatever. It was created in the 70s.
Okay, so it's fake
that
tradition.
Go!
Because,
and
it makes no sense.
No,
I mean,
it makes no
it's
sense.
This, okay, now I know it's faux, but it's this folksy, good old down home way. I mean, you know, choose your candidate by a tractor pull kind of way to do it.
I don't know. So do we think this is the final nail in the coffin for Iowa?
I would hope so. And
I'm
Canadian.
I
can't vote.
Mm-hmm.
But as a Canadian... this system. Hey, all right. Yeah.
One other Canadian.
But as a Canadian, there are two things I can't get used to in this country. Number one is healthcare. Oh my God. It's traumatizing just to think about what I left behind.
Do you go home if you need surgery? Hopefully you don't need surgery. Why did I assume you need surgery?
I mean, I had too much information. I had a C-section. I had my daughter here. So last time I had surgery was here. I hoped not to need surgery here or anywhere. But I'm here. Anyhow, more information than anybody needed. But the other thing that I've always found wild is this political system, is this campaigning that goes on forever. And like the ingrained campaign narratives that are determined by these early states, it just seems crazy to me. And I think that it's coming into sharp relief now watching Bloomberg, who has just opted out. He has opted out of the entire primary system and... it might just work for him.
This is very controversial, but the Bloomberg candidacy just reminds me how stupid America is. And here's why, guys. And I know it's not helpful, and I should be like, everybody's smart, and they're just busy. But I'll be honest. If the only thing you know about Bloomberg is that he ran an ad, and he spends the most in ads, and that means that he's winning in the polls, like, guys... I think that just means you're not paying attention and you shouldn't be able to vote. I'm sorry. And I like Bloomberg. I'm not saying I like him fine.
I'm sorry. I have bad news. I don't know if you know who's president.
Shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm screwed.
I don't know. I feel like we have to see how the Bloomberg experiment is going to go, because it could just be that he is paying money to play a little game until the convention, which I kind of feel like he's doing.
There was a national poll that came out today that had him at third.
That's crazy.
So it was Biden is still first, and then I think Bernie, and then Bloomberg, and then Pete.
He's playing a master game because he's sitting out all the hard stuff, and his people are going out there and saying that that his number one goal is to run these ads to weaken Trump. That's what he is doing. It doesn't matter if he's the nominee. He's just in it for the party, and which, by the way, could be true, and which is great. But he's sort of insulating himself from every side. It's devilish. And it's also so frustrating for anybody who's sort of like, hey, I like Elizabeth Warren. Gee, she's really put in effort. It's like effort.
My mom called me today, and I thought she was going to tell me she was dying. She was like, Cody, I have something to tell you. And I was like, oh, God, this is a bad conversation. And she was like, I think I'm going to vote for Bloomberg. And my mom is very...
Lives in Florida.
Lives in Florida.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? She was like, listen, I just like those ads. He's being a real dick to Donald Trump, and I love it. I love it. She's like, he's telling him he's not a billionaire. And I'm like, yes, yes. So my mom is maybe going to vote for Bloomberg just because of his snark.
But I'm very happy. I'm very sympathetic to that because that's all I want to see. When I watch the debates, I just want to see people dunk on Trump and people reveal Trump as for who he is. I don't need to see, you know, Pete and Bernie like sniping back at each other. And, you know, I don't need Joe Biden as an ad out talking about how Pete was a mayor and he like, you know, got a bike lane or something. And like,
I don't like that ad. I know a lot of people really like it. I think it.
The Biden ad?
Yeah. It's
Can
like
you describe it better than I did? I just.
Well, it's just a little dog whistly to me. It just, it's like Joe Biden was vice president. Here's Joe Biden doing vice presidential things in the Obama administration that had a lot of good things happening, and then like here's Pete Buttigieg, he installed lights under a bridge, it's so pretty. He installed decorative brick. It's just like you can dunk on Pete for other things, but minimizing sort of regular things that an administrator does in a municipality,
it's gross.
Doesn't seem like
it's really gross
because those things really do affect people's lives. I'm sure the people of South Bend really love those lights.
Well,
I mean, honestly, I don't mean that to minimize it. I mean, the things that people do locally for us, I on a daily basis appreciate those so much more than like.
Some, and I will give Michael Bloomberg as an example. Okay, he got rid of smoking in bars. Changed my life. Maybe more. Two things have changed my life more than anything else in New York City. One, public plazas and bike lanes have drastically changed my life, and smoking out of bars have drastically changed my life. And Bloomberg did both of those.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear a Bloomberg T-shirt too if he can nominate it. He's not my first pick. He's probably not my top three. But you know, like
I always think about the smoking in bars. Like whenever I think of like why would I like Bloomberg, that.
And I remember when it happened, I thought it was...
I'm going to be the negative Bloomberg guy, though. Yeah. I'm not on board with this. I mean...
You want to smoke in bars?
No, well I'm reformed, so no longer do I want to do that. But I will just say, Google Bloomberg and sexual harassment.
For
you
sure.
Know, like, we don't want this guy.
He's problematic,
we do not want
for sure.
this guy.
I feel crazy saying that I'm optimistic about anything, but I feel personally optimistic that he's not going to be the nominee.
Okay.
Bloomberg sexual harassment is
but
about...
But we're in this really interesting moment where there's a self-avowed democratic socialist running, you know, and despite all the sniping between the Bernie and Warren camps, Warren would still be like the most progressive president of my lifetime, and Wall Street and sort of, I mean, Chris Matthews was on TV the other day saying that if Bernie would get elected, it would be like Fidel Castro shooting him at Central Park. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like if Fidel Castro had been president.
And we all listen to Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews would not have been shot in Central Park. He would have just been happily going along with everything.
I actually saw that. I watched Morning Joe. He was on Morning Joe, right, when he said that?
I watch the evening show, so I'm not up
that
early.
Oh, maybe he was not.
The Bloomberg sexual harassment that you brought up, is that him personally or just his
company?
It is
him personally. There are a lot of allegations that he created a really toxic environment for women.
Hey, you know what? We could just. I really think it's a prerequisite now that if you run for president. That's why Amy Klobuchar is not going to win. She doesn't have enough sexual harassment. She only has
regular harassment.
What hope is there for Warren, then?
Warren's screwed. She needs to grab someone's ass. I've said it before, but it's true. I grabbed his ass. He wanted it.
Let's move on to impeachment. The president has also been impeached since our last show. No, that's not true. He was impeached long ago, but
he's
the president
acquitted.
It feels like long ago.
But he was impeached a long time ago. But he was.
It only feels like long ago.
Sorry.
It was actually yesterday, but we live in this distorted time now.
I'm on my second IPA, sorry. But it was not surprising that he was acquitted by the Senate last week, but the surprising thing was that good old Mitt Romney voted to impeach him on one of the two counts.
Come on, I'm curious. Guys, clap for
we got to give it
up
for Mitt.
First time in your life to clap for Mitt Romney.
I mean, we do have to give it up for Mitt because I feel like these moderate conservatives like good old Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and Mitt, like we've all been waiting for them to finally do something and Mitt finally actually did something.
I think he's finally learned his lesson.
That's a good Susan Collins.
Thank you.
That was cool that Mitt did that. What do you guys think? There was a thing in the New York Times today that said that the people in Utah actually have his back. For the most part.
When I first heard it, I kind of like rolled my eyes at it. I was like, whatever, like you met the lowest bar, whatever, me being my like angry 2020 political self. And then once I actually heard his speech that he gave, I did feel like it was genuine. And even though I don't feel like maybe it's it was as tough of a vote as like John McCain doing like the thumbs down on skinny repeal, because he knew when he took that vote that like he was actually stopping something
vote.
From happening. I do feel like he went through some kind of emotional situation to come to that vote, and I respect that. I think Doug Jones deserves a little more credit, though.
The Democrat from Alabama.
The Democrat from Alabama, because he actually might face a lot more repercussions than Mitt Romney will.
It's going to be a tough re-election for Doug Jones.
Yeah, Doug Jones,
no matter
I mean,
what. I mean, and also, I've been trying to think of a cynical reason that Romney did this, because, again, mm-hmm. I'm also just, it's like we've had these boyfriends that have treated us so badly, mm-hmm. and, like, we're just so used to all men just treating us so badly, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying in 2020, I feel
yes.
that way. I don't have a bad boyfriend, I have a wonderful husband. but, I, you know, it's just like you just get in this mindset of, like, no one's doing anything for the good of the world.
Right.
But Mitt Romney's speech did seem sincere. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're going to, we're all going to die, and what happens is going to be in the history books. And this is probably the most significant thing that he'll be remembered
well,
for.
Well, Mitt's not technically going to die. He and his wife are going to have their own planet.
Yeah.
so just keep that in mind. So he'll, for eternity on his own planet, he's going to have to think about this moment. So that might be why he did it. We should maybe elect more Mormons.
I will say that the judgment of history is sort of the, and I'm presuming here, but it's sort of the atheist version of heaven and hell. It's like,
yeah.
you know, this thing that we imagine, oh, they're
going to... I'm
gonna,
not getting
gonna,
a planet,
they're gonna,
okay?
They're
so
gonna,
all I
we
get
don't
is
get
the
a planet.
History books.
They're going to get their comeuppance in the judgment of history. Well, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But I think it was a fine thing that he did, and it kept Trump from having a straight vote, you know,
I
being able
like
to say it was
Mitt
a straight partisan.
Romney is that guy who's like he's always straddling light and dark, like in the fantasy books where like, there's someone who's like has to make the final choice. They straddle light. They're a child of the light and a child of the dark. Like I really truly
Severus
feel
Snape.
Like that. Pardon me,
Severus.
Like
Snape.
Maybe like just somebody. like, yeah, like he, because I would not have been surprised had he gone the other way, but I was not surprised by this. I do. I look at Mitt Romney and I've been sort of covering politics like in earnest since 2008, and I've always fundamentally thought that Mitt Romney wanted to be a, like do the right thing, be a good guy, and when he didn't, it never felt comfortable. In 2012, when he gave his speech, and he there was a part of the speech where he talked about he like mockingly talked about like the rising oceans and the planets, you know, and it was like a mocking of global warming. It did not feel like him. I really truly feel like he's like a gosh darn good man. Within the parameters of his privilege, of his ability to recognize sort of when he is not gosh darn good. Mm-hmm. And I just really, I've always felt like he's struggling. Like the pained look on his face when he sat with Donald Trump at the beginning when he thought he might be secretary.
That was his darkest moment in that restaurant,
yeah.
Cipriani or wherever it was.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like this was the pure Mitt vote. Like this was the vote of his heart, not of his warring like GOP head. Anyhow, that's I'm
you
going
have
with
me
that.
Thinking now. I've been sort of anti old white man, but maybe we should only have super old white men and super young people, because
Lamar
young
Alexander.
People have the arc of history to change. Like they're like I'm at the beginning, and then the old white men are like I have nothing left to
and
use.
Mitch McConnell.
Thumbs down.
A lot of them are bad.
Because Mitch McConnell has done a deal with Satan, and he literally
yeah, he
will
has
live
no,
forever. So he is no...
His life force is eternal.
Yeah, yeah. So. His, like, scary turtle smile when he does something bad is...
I mean,
is,
I'm going to yeah, say, terrifying. But if he has to live eternally looking like Mitch McConnell, being Mitch McConnell, then he cut a bad deal.
I don't know. He has a hot wife. He's doing fine.
You know, he cut a bad
That's
deal.
So
he should have had the painting
it.
In the attic
He's
thing.
Got a hot-ass wife, and it's really upsetting.
That's part of, that was part
Elaine
of the deal
crush.
That he struck.
I love Elaine Chao. I'm always like, yes, transportation. I love it. So let's talk about the Oscars, because those
oh
were last night. yeah, you know what? We like to do giant pivots here on Two Beers In, because when you're drunk, you're just like, I don't know. So
I
last night,
about the Oscars.
Last night, the Oscars happened. Brad Pitt started off his speech making a comment about the Senate not calling John Bolton as a witness.
I mean, by the way, if you had told me a year ago, any point in the past, more than 6 months ago, that Brad Pitt would give an Oscar-accepted speech where he said, "Let John Bolton speak," I would have been floored. Like, how crazy is that? That's kind of the only thing he said, like, the Senate should have let John Bolton speak, and then he moved on to
I know,
talk
it's
about
like,
his movie.
He's like, wants to be, again, memorialized for talking about John Bolton and his Oscar speech? I don't know. And then, okay, so then Joaquin Phoenix said, oh, this is a long...
Cows.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's a long... We don't have to read the whole quote, but...
I will.
Okay.
Because it's crazy, but also gets to the point I want to talk about. We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow and steal her baby, even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. Then we take her milk that's intended for her calf and we put it in our coffee and our cereal. Guys, everyone's laughing, but think about it.
No, I feel for the cow.
Too. It did feel like the voiceover of a PETA ad that has gone viral.
I would
like,
so it was. It he's a weird bird, mm-hmm. it seems, and it was his speech was weird, and it's weird to win Best Oscar for the Joker and to give this like.
It's like it's nothing to do. It'd be one thing if it was like, oh, I won the Oscar for Jojo Rabbit. It's about Hitler. I'm going to make a comment about Hitler. But what was the Joker a vegan? That's bizarre.
Definitely not.
He might have been. I don't know.
But I mean, as Cody and I are trying to become more vegan, we're not vegan. But
yeah, I can't really give up cheese wholly.
The message is not crazy. I mean, you know, we do artificially inseminate cows and steal their babies and then
personally,
yeah. milk
I do
them.
Not.
Personally, what?
Oh wait.
Personally, I do
you
not
don't
do
make
those
your own
things.
Milk. Wow, that's weird. We have a cow in our apartment.
He's definitely not wrong. It was like a shocking moment just to hear like artificially inseminate a cow on the Oscars. Like just that phrase, I was like, whoa, okay, I'm back.
It's like, not the best way.
It's like
yeah.
the end of
okay,
the Oscars.
Okay.
Like, I've had
so
some drinks,
I didn't see this.
Right? I've eaten my dips, my cleverly named dips. I've eaten those.
Yes.
And now he's talking about a cow and I'm eating my like Mark Ruffalo buffalo dip.
Yeah.
And I'm, like,
I'm just
oh,
like, oh
shit.
My God.
the Oscars is when I eat the most cheese of the year.
Also, like... So, I don't know if you guys read the news, but we have a lot of problems these days. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. you know, like climate change, like the imminent destruction of the earth. And
but,
okay,
so
this is a thing. This
tied.
Is a thing, yeah. the yeah. artificial insemination of cows. But I just feel like if you've got 45 seconds up there in the world's attention.
You've
got
to bring up John Bolton.
But
yeah, who I will say could have changed the course of history by just coming out and talking. Like mm-hmm. he, you know. I
no,
mean,
you can't talk unless you're subpoenaed. You're not allowed to go in front of news cameras unless you're subpoenaed. It or release a book.
I mean,
the only
seriously,
way to get your
there
message
was,
out.
There was like a 48-hour period where he could have changed the course of history by just walking out
he
and
also
talking.
Could have agreed to testify before the House.
Why is anyone ever going to ever paid? Think that John Bolton's a good guy?
Oh, no, I do not. I am not pretending. No. He's terrible. He's been terrible. He's been trying to get us into a war with Iran for at least 25 years, mm-hmm. you know?
I think right. that's what he's really mad about, and that's why he decided to, like, spill all the tea on Trump, because he was like, it's one thing to fucking fire me, but to start the war with Iran without me, bitch, never.
Or or he was pissed off that the war didn't happen.
Yeah, he was maybe. Like, and you blew
it's
it.
Like, God damn it. God damn it. I almost had it, and then you fucked it up.
I guess... The bigger question is, should celebrities be allowed to talk about topics in their acceptance speeches that are political in nature? And if so, what's free game?
Is there like a celebrity police, though? I mean, who would enforce
yeah, exactly.
that?
Well, the Oscar,
I'm saying, I guess if you were about to win an Oscar, what is the best use of your time? And what makes the most sense politically? Does anything make the most sense? Or should you just shut up and say thank you to your agent?
I do what celebrities tell me
so
to do.
Oscars would be so boring without that, yeah. you know, that like third rail of possibility. I mean, it's great. It's first of all, it's laudable. You have your platform. Use it. But second of all, look, we're all talking about the cow and not talking about Parasite winning. Like, that's nuts.
Well, wait, so did what Joaquin Phoenix said change your mind at all?
Well, I'm like a huge liberal, of course not. But generally, I understood the extrapolated message, which was preserve the environment. I'm like, yeah, you had me. And then I was just like, please, I hope Joker doesn't win for Best Picture. I hope Joker doesn't win for Best Picture. That was it.
I feel like the messages that celebrities give at the Oscars are best when they are tied to the movie or maybe their own personal story. And I think if you win for Joker and you're randomly talking about cow insemination, even though I agree, like I've recently switched away from cow's milk to, almond milk, and then I found out that's killing bees, so I guess we're going oat milk now. But it's all terrible. But I generally, I'm a vegetarian and I agree with him, but I see why people are making fun of it because you just won for a Batman movie and you're talking about cow insemination. But so it's more like, it's better if like it's the message of the movie and that, or your own personal.
Right, oh, what would that have been? Scary clowns? You could make a statement against scary clowns.
He could have made a statement about mental health. Something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is interesting to me because a lot of people on the liberal side of things always say, like, when a conservative says, oh, just stick to sports, you know, stop standing up during the sitting down during the national anthem, standing up during the national anthem, stop sitting down during the national anthem, stick to sports. And then liberals also roll their eyes when someone brings up being a vegan in the Oscars. What do you think, Elise?
I feel like it's pretty normal to see political statements at the Oscars. I think Joaquin is getting the headline because he chose to focus on the insemination aspect. And that maybe, like, if he had just said, which might be part of his ultimate plan, but if he had just said, like, be vegan, it's better for the environment, it wouldn't have gotten the headline
as we're inseminating cows
and stealing milk from them and stuff. So that's probably actually part of it for him to get his message out there.
I mean, the whole thing was messagey. I thought, mm-hmm. like, Janelle Monáe was incredible. I loved that. That's one of the rare times where I was truly surprised by an Oscars opening. I found that thrilling. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I would take the message from the snubbed Elsas, if I will. I have a 4-year-old daughter, so we're very into Frozen. Frozen 2 was robbed. I like for everyone to show themselves. Anyone? No? Come on, Frozen 2.
No. What is that, the song?
Our son is very gendered and refused to watch Frozen because it's for girls. And I said, you live in Hell's Kitchen and gender is a construct. And he didn't understand that.
Show Yourself is I want to say seminal song in the movie, but
is it the one that
was
performed last night?
No, that was Into the Unknown.
Got it.
That was all the Elsas. Anyhow, just, you know, listen to the Frozen 2 soundtrack. What does it the kids say? It slaps. It slaps.
Is that what the kids say?
The kids apparently do say that.
Oh, I am an old lady.
Can anyone on the panel explain to me why the Eminem song was played last night?
No one knows. Absolutely no one has any idea.
It's one of those rare occasions where I felt so vindicated going on Twitter because Charlie and I were watching it and we were like, what? When the lead up was happening to the Eminem song, we were like, why are they spending so much time on that
yes,
song?
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's so random. Eminem? Like, well, I don't know. And then he comes out and we were like, is it the 20th anniversary? Or
is he dead?
Is he dying? Does he have lung cancer just like Rush Limbaugh? I don't know.
Maybe he is dying and they just didn't mention that.
They should have because we would have felt better about the song. Now we made fun of it. I'm going to feel bad if he comes out and says, I'm dying.
I don't feel bad about mocking Rush Limbaugh even though he got that medal. He's still a scumbag.
Well,
he's
one of the most destructive human beings ever. And that should change everyone's mind.
About the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
That's true. Thank you, Rachel.
Has everybody on the panel seen the photo of Trump that went viral this week where his hair is more windswept than normal?
Was it ever determined if that was Photoshop or if that was a real photo?
It's real, right?
Everybody
in the audience, it's a real photo as far as everybody knows?
I mean, it might as well be real because we have seen other photos.
If anyone didn't see it, and this is everyone's favorite part of a podcast where I describe a photo.
Honestly, you don't want to see it. If you haven't seen it, don't look at it.
But basically, he has an orange circle around his face because his hair is being blown back. And his bronzer and or insane
bed situation.
Does he lie in a tanning bed with a bowl over his head? And it's too small to reach his scalp. I don't know. Or maybe a doctor was like, you might get skin cancer on your scalp. Mm-hmm. Anyway, is it Photoshopped? Is it real? No one knows. But
it looks Trump's real.
Anyway,
we have seen
enough other photographs of Trump. The weird tan line or whatever you want.
Well, his eyes are in every photograph. He clearly wears like the little goggles when he goes in the tanning bed. His eyes are white.
Oh yeah, I've spent 3-4 years drawing that shit. I mean, I am so fucking sick of the little goggles and the whole thing. God, just get me a normal president.
I love the way you draw his hair too, because like you can see a giant bald spot.
But the hair is a metaphor for the entire Trump presidency. It's mm-hmm. this entirely fake thing. It's this entire artifice that everyone just kind of says, okay. You know, it's absurd. It's absurd.
I feel like it's like rote or like hacky at this point to talk about how bad he looks, but it's crazy how bad he looks.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
He's a disgusting
person.
And
the thing is, have you seen like the Macnaughton paintings or whatever, the social realism of Trumpism, the things where he's like a hero on a tank
or
is this the guy that puts like Jesus next to the Constitution?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy?
And, and he's always this very sort of muscular president outwitting the Democrats in some metaphorical
scenario. Yeah, he's always like buff in them.
I can't even. We're on a podcast. I can't even describe them.
Yeah, it's like
Google
him playing
them.
Poker with every other Republican president, and he's like winning. It's crazy. Like it's weird.
But this is how you know that there are two ways that you know that that was an actual photograph without actually. I don't actually have any inside information. But number one, just the nature of the denial. If it was really photoshopped, I think there would have been a much more vehement and like fact-based denial rather than, oh, that's obviously photoshopped. But also, if you actually looked at it, it did look like a little bit of smudging. Like it looked to me more like spray makeup, rather than a tan.
Because no makeup artist will actually work with him.
I think they must
have
a team.
This is what happens with conservatives, guys. Makeup artists are people in the creative profession are generally liberal. And
well, you have an anti-vaxxer makeup artist in one of your jobs, right?
You what?
Don't you have an anti-vaxxer makeup artist in one of your jobs?
Let's not talk about this on the podcast.
Get your kids vaccinated. Let's move on.
I don't want to look like a clown in my next shoot.
Okay. Here's how we know that there are makeup artists in the Trump White House, Melania and Ivanka, right? And I guess Jared,
He needs someone to cover up his devil face.
They must have a huge staff. Anyhow, I think they're all repugnant and disgusting.
I'm describing. I love for the podcast being like, Google this tweet. But I don't remember who said it. But my favorite caption was, and I'm sorry I can't quote who said it because it's very funny, a very funny joke. But this is what the spaghetti looks like when you microwave it in the Tupperware, or the Tupperware after you've put spaghetti in it. It's so true, guys. We've had spaghetti in a Tupperware, and you can't get that red.
No, the red
ring
never
around.
Goes.
It's just there forever. And that is Trump.
That's his face.
Yeah, that's his face.
We want to transition to a new segment in the show that we're trying out this month, and we're going to have a little debate here, and Cody's going to moderate a debate with some issues that we might disagree on. I feel like it's a very liberal panel. We usually have a very liberal panel. We have a very liberal audience usually, so we're going to try to see if there's maybe some topics that we might have some disagreement on.
Yeah, so it's an election year, and we're going to see a lot of debates over the next year, and we feel like a lot of the things that are happening in debates are super hyper-partisan, so we kind of wanted to go over some topics that might not go along party lines are a little bit more gray than black and white. So our first one, a tech company recently has created a facial recognition software that can detect your face, scan the internet, and say who you are, basically. So it's currently being used by law enforcement agencies to catch criminals, but privacy advocates are saying that it has the power to take away everyone's anonymity.
Listen, I'm just amazed there's not a Yelp for everyone right now, that there's not some app that, like, you can leave a review of any human being. You know, that's coming. Trust me, man, that's
Isn't
coming.
Isn't that Twitter?
Yeah, okay, but that's where you own yourself.
But so, do you think this should exist, or do you not think this should?
Oh, no, definitely. I want to be able to... No, I do not think it should exist.
Well, but there are a lot of great things about it in terms of catching criminals. A lot of police officers
Okay, but I'm not catching criminals. And like, you walking down the street are not catching criminals, and you don't want some guy, like, saying, oh, who's the girl? I want to, find out her home address, and, you know...
Right, can anyone see the other side, Elise?
I don't think that it should exist for law enforcement, but I think that it should exist for me personally to have help remembering like the people I've met at various times in my life. Like I'd love a facial recognition software for me.
Right. So you're saying you promise you won't use it.
I won't use it.
Bad,
I'm not a snitch.
Way.
So I'm fine. I just want to use it because I'll be like, we took improv class together. Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anybody else think that it's a good thing or a bad thing?
It sounds like a horrendous abuse of technology to me. And then I remember my iPhone, which I hold up to my face, and I'm like, "Hey, iPhone!" And iPhone's like, "Hey, I'm gonna unlock for you now, Rach." And I use facial recognition technology every day.
Right.
So
okay,
yeah,
this is just an aside, but my iPhone with the facial recognition just crapped out, so I have to tap in my password every time. So
did you change your face?
No, yeah. Face off.
It only responds to the bird.
But yeah. You know, so not only is it a bad idea, but like, who the hell trusts tech to work? No. Well, are we idiots?
Well, here's a question, though. If you were mugged, a lot of times they have security footage, and they have those grainy photos mm-hmm. that they put up, and you can't find somebody, and they have nothing, no other leads to go on. You know, it really, does anybody think that there's some good uses for it in terms of?
There's always good uses for all of this technology. The problem is that we've seen again and again how the powers that be, often the wildly unregulated powers mm-hmm. that be, abuse it. And that's how we got here.
Yeah. So it's a slippery slope situation.
Oh my God, it's so slippery. But I really love facial recognition on my iPhone, so.
Yeah, wait
right?
till it craps mm-hmm. out.
So, I mean, this is how they get
out
you.
Of the blue, just stops working.
It'd be interesting. I hope no one can find me without makeup on when I'm shopping for groceries with my son.
The facial recognition is shockingly good. Mm-hmm. We had some friends over to our apartment recently, and I just started going on my phone, and your phone has a database of like the 60 faces that are in most of your photographs, especially if you use iCloud Photo. And I just started like choosing different friends who were at the party, and Apple would make a slideshow of all the pictures that those friends were in, and I'd play them and sort of surprise people. And like a lot of the pictures, it'd be a crowd shot, and we would have to really squint to find the one friend who was like in the background. Like there was a photo at the Women's March with my wife and I and our two children, and then our friend John is just like in the background talking to somebody else, and like that was in his montage. So it's crazy how good facial recognition is getting.
So you're saying you think that the facial recognition software should be legal so that you can easily find photos of your friends online?
It was fun. It was definitely fun doing those things. No, I mean, look.
So we're putting people's privacy based on
it's a surveillance state,
enjoying.
But it's a good party trick. I mean, everything's a trade-off.
Yeah, I can think of personal examples. Like, for example, I once had a porch pirate situation. We don't have porches in New York City, but someone stole a package of mine, and my building had security camera footage of the guy doing it. And yeah, if I, you know, I was trying to figure out who stole this package, and it would have been nice if a law enforcement could have put his picture into, you know, a database, and I could have gotten my mattress back. Yes, he stole a mattress in a box, and it was also
insane.
A twin mattress that my child was needed to sleep on.
It's a very light. Easy thing to steal.
Yeah, joke was on him when he like opened up the box and a mattress exploded on him. He had a twin, memory foam mattress. But anyway, I can see like, oh, that would be nice if we could just know who anybody is so if somebody commits a crime. But you don't want to know who protesters are, who mm-hmm. are protesting against the government. You don't want a creepy guy at a bar to take a picture of a woman at a bar and then be able to, you know, look her up and go and hit on her in
Unless
a weird,
cute.
Gross way.
Right, you don't want a person with bad intentions who may be in the law enforcement to use the information for bad reasons, you know, like we've seen, I've thought a lot about this with like the DNA testing kits and stuff and how it's like they caught a serial killer with that. The Golden State mm-hmm. killer got caught because like two of his relatives were on that and mm-hmm. through their DNA, they were able to zero in on him. Like he wasn't even the one who's on it.
Right.
And I just think about that because it's like, is this weird web of all of us being able to have our like DNA found, even if we're not on these websites, like as long as people who are connected to you are on it, then they can find you. Is that worth catching one serial killer? Well, he was a really bad serial killer.
But if your family was murdered in a serial killer.
Okay, but I mean,
no, he was a really bad serial killer. I actually just listened to a podcast.
If you think these things, if they are available, aren't being abused. I mean, I think this came out of when Snowden leaked all of his stuff, but the NSA literally had one of their all-caps acronyms called LoveInt, which was dumbass incels at the NSA using the massive powers of the state to track down the girls they had crushes on. I mean, this stuff has already been abused. We
right.
know.
Okay, so moving on, SUVs and trucks have dominated the market for years, even though global warming is threatening our world as we know it. Here's the question, is it moral to own an SUV? Don't all chime in at once.
I don't have my driver's license, so I don't believe that I can comment on this fairly.
If you were to own a car, what kind of car would you own?
Honestly, for my whole life, like my young life of imagined cars, I really wanted a yellow Camaro. But I think probably that's not practical for me right now as a single mother. But I, yeah, I are the SUVs being used for carpooling, child safety?
SUVs are not being used for carpooling. Okay. They're being used for one person in their giant Cadillac Escalade to commute into New York City, or one sorority girl to drive 1 mile to the grocery store in suburbia. And the thing about SUVs is that it's sort of this—it's this arms race, right? So you don't—you know—most people, if you're going to die in America, it's probably going to be cancer or a car crash, right? Car crashes are like wildly high on the list of the way we all die. So you want to protect yourself, right? So if you want to protect yourself, get an SUV. But the other side of that is that you're making it more dangerous for the people outside of the car. So when you watch car commercials and they talk about how safe the cars are, they're talking about the person inside the car. They're not talking about the person outside of the car. And if you look at how tall, you know, a Chevy Suburban is, you can't see a four-year-old. If you, it's like 10 feet in front of the car where you can actually see someone who is the height of a toddler. So I think it is morally indefensible to own an SUV. It's bad for the environment, and it's bad for other human beings who you could kill.
Does anybody here own an SUV or a car?
Five of them.
Elise, you
one to say? For each day of the week.
I was going to say that I agree that I think it's immoral to own one, especially if you're if you are an individual person and that's your only car. Like,
but let's say anybody here can imagine being in the suburbs and having a family. Let's say of four kids. I think some of these cars are the only ways that you can fit.
Minivans.
I may be the only person on this stage who has lived in the suburbs with one child, and I managed to do it with, we had a, what do you call it, a Subaru, which is a sort of hybrid, almost SUV, but we did not have an SUV. It was more like a station wagon.
If you have, what I would say is, if you have one that is like, this is our, the entire family is getting into one car because we're doing an entire family getting into one car thing, vehicle, and that vehicle is an SUV because you have six kids or whatever.
So you're saying,
I get it, but I think that you should... I'm coming up with this opinion right now. I think that you, if you're going to have an SUV, that's your, the whole family's getting in the car, and your day-to-day cars are two different normal-sized cars.
Did anybody else have an SUV growing up, or like a minivan or a station wagon?
We had like a station wagon.
Yeah, they didn't exist back then.
I come from a family with three other children, so there are four of us. There are only so many cars that
we fit in the inside. The important thing is that when Bernie is elected, everyone who owns SUVs will be executed in Central Park.
Okay.
Starting with Chris Matthews.
Here's a good one. U-Haul has said that they will no longer hire smokers in many states. Should employers be able to hire or fire people based on their personal habits?
Okay, that's a huge no.
Smoking, no. That's crazy to me.
But that's something they do in the privacy of their own home. Are you
that's what I mean. It's like, it's crazy to fire. Why would, I just don't understand.
Wait, so Elise, explain your position.
My position is that I don't think you should be able to fire someone because they smoke independently. You can say, like, you're not allowed to smoke when you're on the job. You're not allowed to smoke in the U-Haul truck, whatever. And then if you catch them violating that rule, you could fire them. But that feels to me like the company just trying to be like, I have an announcement. Like, we're doing something, and it's like, I don't know. Literally anything else. Like, make your cars fuel efficient. Do something that's useful to other people.
Anyone else have another opinion?
I would say yes. I think it depends on the industry, but I'm a lifelong non-smoker, and the thing that's always bothered me is that smokers just get to take breaks. Just at any point during the day, no matter what your job is, no matter what your career is, I guess maybe you can if you're a flight attendant, but most careers, you can say, I'm going to go outside and have a cigarette. And you can just leave work for 15 minutes. And everybody else who doesn't smoke, you don't have a reason to, you don't get to have a free 15-minute break every hour.
Well,
and
I would agree, like, 15-minute break.
Well, okay, I'm a little ignorant. How long does it take
I'm
to smoke
say
a cigarette?
It's like a
5 minutes?
3-minute break, and I'm going to say there's class coming into this because a lot of people who smoke are people who are working at U-Haul. And it feels like a sort of self-righteous upper class thing trying to control. Yes, it's a bad habit. We all know it's a bad habit. Some of us have succumbed to it at various moments in our lives, not speaking of anyone that I know of personally, but it happens. But you know, it's not like drinking on the job or something. Mm-hmm. It's not going to impair you, it's not going to affect anything.
Yeah, also let everyone take a break.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. More breaks. More breaks. More breaks. Is the answer.
That's interesting. It's though, really Charlie, hard to. Sorry. It's just. It's really hard to say. You. We won't hire people who do X in their own time. That I think right. is. Charlie, I don't even think smoke, that's legal.
But I agree. I agree. And I'm not for drug testing. I think if you want to smoke pot on the weekends, you want to smoke pot every night. That's fine. If you want to be high in your own time, drunk in your own time, that's fine. But I do see a difference with smoking in that. Smokers, not all smokers, but most smokers, it's a chemical dependence where they have to do it throughout the day, and they often can't do it at their place of work. They have to go somewhere else in order to do it. So that's a productivity problem. I see why you should be able to ban that.
So, Charlie, here's a question. It's also counterproductive to have women take breaks to breastfeed and to pump breast milk. Should that be something that you don't hire people for?
No pumping ever. Snap. No pumping allowed. Formula only for all members of the workforce. No, of course, I think that's different.
So, but here's the question, though. Where do you draw the line? You can't help smoking either.
Well, you
it's
can
addiction.
Help smoking.
I think you draw
well,
the
don't
line.
Don't you think that's
like
a value judgment then?
A value judgment?
That
I mean,
you
I think
you can help smoking or can't as someone who's never been addicted to smoking.
Right. I mean, sure. I've never smoked. I've never experienced nicotine addiction. So I'm sure it's difficult, but maybe you just can't work at U-Haul if you have that. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think if breastfeeding is something that you should be able to go and pump and take a 15-minute break to pump or whatever.
It takes longer than that.
I think you could be in your how long does it take? A half hour?
You have two children.
Well, I don't remember. I didn't have to pump.
I know.
Whoa.
Okay.
These are two very different things, though. I mean, one is like a reasonably temporary. The other seems to be a criteria for hiring or not hiring.
One is promoting life. Mm-hmm. One is destroying life.
But I mean,
But again, you're putting a. It feels as though you're putting a value judgment on how people use their personal time.
I am. I am putting a value judgment, and I think cigarettes are terrible.
I just don't think the U-Haul Corporation gets to have that level of control over their employees' lives.
Yeah. I also think...
I mean, it's just U-Haul. Come on, man.
I know. I'm an advocate for, like also, if you get away with it, okay. Like, you got away with it. Like, if you're not noticing that they're taking... If you notice that your employee is taking so many smoke breaks that it's... like causing a problem with their productivity or whatever, it's created some sort of issue on the job, then you can talk to them then. But if they're delivering all the stuff in the same, like if they're still getting all the stuff done, who cares?
Right. Let me give an example.
But that makes sense. But I want to say you brought up how they're using their time. You both did, but it also could affect how the car is used. Smoke makes the car smell
bad.
They're
not smoking in their trucks. They're just going out for a 3-minute cigarette break. I mean, this is like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I've had jobs, and, you know, regardless of smoking, I have wasted 3 minutes here and there. I was not a 100% productivity efficient machine. I never really Xeroxed my butt. But there's all kinds of things people do to fuck around on jobs. Yeah.
Just looking at your
phone,
the
internet.
People who don't smoke are looking at Twitter. I mean, there's always some shit.
So let's say, I'm somewhat, very mildly addicted to Mario Kart Tour right now, which is available on my iPhone. Let's say if my employer realized that every hour on the hour, I went outside for 3 minutes, I
How
stepped away.
How long does it take to create or to finish a game?
About 3 minutes to get through a game.
It seems very equal
very
to
comparable.
Smoking.
So if I told my employer I'm addicted to Mario Kart Tour, and at least once an hour, I need to leave my desk and play one round of a cup in Mario Kart Tour. I should be allowed to do that. Do we
Don't
all agree
tell
with that?
Him that? Don't tell your employer that. Just do it.
But they're going to see me.
Desk, man.
That's where you went wrong, my man.
This is not the standard. The only standard is X habit impairing your ability to perform the job for which you are hired or contracted. Like this feels like, I don't know, Godspeed U-Haul. I just think probably a lot of people complain that their stuff arrived and it all reeked of smoke because the guy was, or the girl, whoever was driving the car.
Thank you.
Wait. Are we, do you understand the U-Haul? Like they are not hauling it. You are hauling it yourself.
Okay,
that part is confusing. I don't
all
know
they do is rent trucks.
I absolutely thought you were talking about UPS this entire time.
I think what U-Haul is saying Fair. Is that
oh my
you
god,
must
am I the only person who's ever rented
you pack
a U-Haul
up and move your stuff cross country?
What is this even?
Jesus Christ.
All right, last, truly, what is this law even, or what is this rule
Manhattan.
Impacting?
Last topic, last lightning round topic. Many Democratic candidates are running on a platform calling for free college. Some are saying it should be for everyone, including rich kids, and others are saying it should be means tested, while Republicans say everybody should have to pay for their own college. What do you think? Should college be free for everybody?
Means testing is always the end of social programs. It has to be equal across the board, and it's fine. I don't care. Jared Kushner could use some more college. That's fine with me.
What do you mean it's always the end of social programs?
Because it's a way of then sort of dividing and conquering, saying it's only, once you say it's only for poor people, then it's easy to say, well, why on earth are we giving this social benefit to these lazy poor people who don't deserve it? It's what they've been trying to do with Social Security forever. Means testing is the way that Republicans try to destroy social programs.
So you're saying Social Security is a great example of something that everybody benefits from?
Yes, and fine.
And that's
why it works.
Rich
people get an extra check, whatever. I don't care because it is such an overall social good. And
right.
In the same way, if a couple of rich kids get some free college and everyone else who really needs it get some free college, I think that's a fair trade-off.
Also, the rich kids are still going to go to their fancy colleges. Like, private colleges would still exist, and then they'll go there. It'll be like public and private school.
Right.
A lot of candidates are saying that while they agree that we should be able to give college to everybody, we can't actually afford it right now.
We are spending, I believe, $15 billion on Space Force. I just read that on my way here on Twitter. I believe it was $15.5 billion on Space Force with their like fake Star Trek logo. I mean, there's like one guy in Space Force. What the hell's he doing with that money? What is that? We don't have a Death Star. I mean, how can we afford it question. I'm sorry. It's not how can we afford it. It's what do we choose to spend our money
right.
on.
Rachel, do you have any idea?
Once again, I come from Canada. University was not free per se, but it was extremely affordable. I remember writing like at my own check for $250. I had like some small scholarship, and it was $250 Canadian for my first year of university.
Whew.
Like that,
I'm leaving the show.
That's like 200 US.
I have to go.
I mean, things have changed in Canada since then. But, you know, very, very aware, again, of just how many barriers there are in this country to a de minimis standard of living. So, you know, why not try? Why not try to do all the good things? And you know, maybe Space Force next year.
Charlie?
I think it's a no-brainer to make public college free. I mean, you know, if we have public education, or as Trump called in the State of the Union, government education, government schools, which is so disgusting. But public schools and public education, if we have that and we provide that to our kids from kindergarten in New York, we start at 4, and starting next year, we're starting at 3. But if we're providing from when you're 3 until when you are a senior in high school, why not do 4 more years? Why not have the same system? And I think the reason that public school works in a lot of places, and I know it doesn't work in everywhere, but it's because everybody goes there. Because you want the rich kids to go there. You want the rich kids' parents to donate to the PTA, and you want
and
them.
You want the rich kids to bring coke for the poor kids.
The rich kids have to bring the cocaine.
You want them to bring drugs from their house to your house. That's, I would say, about 11th grade for me.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I think it's give it to everybody. Give everybody health care. Give everybody Social Security retirement. Give everybody education. Tax the people that make more money more so they can help fund it that way.
I think most of the Democratic candidates would agree with that, but they're saying in this time of scarcity where we're having to pay for health insurance, we're having to pay for all this stuff now.
But what Dan said, it's not a time of scarcity. It's never a time of scarcity.
Should we sort of put things forward first and say, let's start with this group and then move forward and have it for everybody?
I mean, I'm so tired of watching Democratic debates where Elizabeth and Bernie come out and say, let's have free college for everybody for public education. Let's have Medicare for all. And then Klobuchar or whatever other moderate is like, what if it was just 6 months of a trade school? It's like, that's not what the Republicans do. The Republicans say, you know, they go all the way. They go 100 mm-hmm. yards. And then through legislation, they get to like 80 yards.
Right.
And
the Democrats started the 50 yards.
It is all aspirational. This is always my argument. John Kennedy did not know how the hell we were going to get to the moon. He just said, hey, we're going to the moon. Mm-hmm. And then smart people figured out how to do it. Like, you lay out the aspiration. You don't say, well, I'm sorry, John F. Kennedy. How can we possibly afford this? Perhaps we can go halfway to the moon.
So you're saying if we decide to say that we're giving free college to everybody and we end up just giving it to kids whose parents make under $200,000, so you're okay with that?
I'm saying that politics is, you know, this phase of the political cycle is aspirational. There's not a candidate running who is going to get 100% of everything they are promising. But aspirations are good. Aspirations set the goal, and then you try to get as far as you can.
Yeah, if you promise 50%, you get 25%.
That's what I always think about it
they
in terms
will always
of like
be bargained down.
Trump, when he was running, he was like, "We're gonna make this wall, and Mexico is gonna pay for it." And everyone was like, "That's so crazy." And now, I mean, it's still crazy, but they're literally building part of a wall.
I mean, he also said we're gonna have the best healthcare, and it's gonna be cheap. Yes. It's like,
Democrats.
Sure, I'll go for
what
that.
If the liberal version of the wall is free college?
And then it's like some people get free college and like we have kind of half free college or whatever the wall. I don't know what the wall metaphor
Democrats
is.
Often,
I recently saw it like fell over in the wind.
Democrats don't understand this. Democrats,
that's the metaphor.
Democrats start bargaining with their final position. It's like I'm sorry.
With
have
themselves.
You people ever been to a flea market? This is not how you negotiate.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I think we've solved many problems today. I feel as though everyone should just go home and quit their jobs because everyone's going to have free education and healthcare forever.
And retirement.
Congratulations.
Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight.
Take your break at work. Take your break.
Thanks for coming to Two Beers In. Let's give it up for our panel, Dan Perkins, Elise Morales, and Rachel Sklar. We do this show every month at UCB Theater. Come back and see us on March 25th or subscribe to the podcast. Leave a rating and a review so other people find it. And in the meantime, don't forget to vote in midterm elections. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do hear them.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.